Welcome back to the number one Blood Bowl podcast in the Northwest. My name's Chuck, your Bretonian master. And on the other end, who we got here? We got Connor, who Connor taking the L this weekend.
Oh, no. Chuck played his first game of Blood Bowl and is now undefeated in Blood Bowl. We're the people's champion, greatest Blood Bowl player of all time. He's pretty good at it.
Actually, it was really fun. So
there's podcasts out there, they're going to be angry.
I feel like I'm missing a memo of some sort here because I'm double checking all the obnoxious stickers that I have from our various tournaments on my water bottle here. And they all say things like kill scream. And that implies made me think this was a kill scream related podcast. You guys have to send me memos about this stuff.
It's called a pivot. We're going to talk about Blood Bowl tactics and how to line up your team. The hobby portion is going to be how to do static grass and get those nice little lines on the base like you had, Connor. So. Max, I'm sorry, we didn't actually warn you ahead of time that this is now the number one Blood Bowl podcast in the Northwest. So welcome back, everybody. Connor here, Tyler here, and Max, our social media queen, is joining us tonight to help out, help talk narrative, and we're gonna talk about fatigue, and she's gonna help us with a lot
fatigue
of things,
so. By this conversation already. So is Blood Bowl like American football, or is it like soccer because it was made by Brits? Because I know how to play exactly one of those.
It's actually like American football.
More so American. Yeah.
Not the one I know how to play. Got it.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So the lore is that they, you know, they're all cast into a separate realm, right? And Newfel is there, which is the god of Blood Bowl. So NFL. Newfel.
I get it now. Actually, we did play this weekend though. We went to Comics Keep, and actually a really good time. It was fun.
Nice.
I haven't played anything since Kill Team, or besides Kill Team, since 40K in like 9th edition a long time ago. So was nice to play something else. So
that's crazy.
Newfel, the god of blood, Jesus, tap dancing Christ. Like, this is going back to a conversation I was having in our Discord, I think like yesterday, where somebody was asking for kind of like the size of those silly plasma generator things that came with the I think it is Determination Kill Team box, one of the Jaegers. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of those because Sean made me finally impulse buy Jaegers from talking about them on the podcast. And again, I love 40K so much, but it's so stupid. I love it. It's so dumb because you could just call those things a plasma generator, but they put like they call them generator eums because they have to make everything sound vaguely Latin.
Well, no,
unless they just give up and call them Angron. So,
yeah, no, they just want to be able to copyright it though too. That's why all of our paints are called Mephisto.
The god of Blood Bowl is the word NFL. If you were to try to say it as an actual word, Nephil.
Can you imagine being the guy who was at like a Yorkshire pub in the 80s who was trying to go and figure out like the backstory lore for their like, you know, game they're making pewter miniatures for? So he just wrote down the name Angron on like a napkin after like three like watered down beers, and now you're going to see an Amazon Prestige show where Henry Cavill has to say that shit.
Absolutely. I love it. You know, the stupidity of Warhammer is honestly what I love about it the most. One of the things I hate is when people try to like over rationalize Warhammer. They're like, a chainsword would not be a very effective weapon, you know, and I'm like, okay, it's fucking bad.
Why do you put on the Connor voice when you talk like that?
Hey, I don't sound like that.
I love 40K as a setting, and then like story-wise, it's bad and it's stupid, and that's why I love it. It's like the Resident Evil of sci-fi settings. It's schlock. You shouldn't be taking it seriously.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, satire will always be satire, even if they forget it. You know.
No, I was actually going to talk about how, as much as we say the 40K universe might be the worst universe to go in, you at least have the numbers advantage that, God willing, you're just stuck on some agri world and you don't have to deal with a war zone ever. I think Resident Evil might be the worst universe to be in. There was like a terrorist attack with zombies every other week. The president's been killed like three times. Half of China has been like turned into zombies at one point, I'm pretty sure.
True. It just crime sucks. Content in Resident Evil world has to go fucking crazy.
I mean, yeah. Okay. No,
here's my hot take. True crime content is part of the alt-right pipeline.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
All right, I'm listening.
I'm just saying, like, it makes people constantly afraid of being a victim, of something, you know?
I don't know.
When we live in the safest time that has ever existed, despite all of the horrible things going on.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of memes that it's like, well, people that are like, I had to turn off the news and go watch some true crime just so I could fucking settle down.
Yeah.
So, anyways, welcome everybody. Let's talk fatigue. We have Max here with us, as we said. She joined us a while back to talk narrative, and you've been on quite, well, before we get to the fatigue part, you've been on quite the narrative train. Mm-hmm. Like 100 some odd Necron Warriors or something you built.
Mark you.
Okay. Ooh. So somewhere along the line, by accident, I just became a Necron person. And it started with the thing before Combat Patrol, what was it? The Imperium subscription, the magazine one, which was all of the Necron stuff in the Indominus launch box. And then after that, just a bunch of like other random things. And then Tomb World, and then a lot of the commute. I go onto this podcast one time to talk about join off stuff, and now I'm just the narrative girl, and just everybody and their mother who's got like the Tomb World like box, they get like their Death Watch and what have you, just like, oh, there are all these warriors and these MPO rules, Max, you want these, right? And I have a combination of like 100, like, okay, I counted 100 warriors, like 24 like bases of the Scarabs. I think I have the Canoptic Circle team 3 times, except I only have the Cryptek twice. I have, if we actually manage to get around to, for say, CritCon and like Killscream 5, like somewhere in there being able to do like some kind of nice narrative event, we are going to be so set on NPOs, provided that I don't go insane and kill myself before then, because I am painting all of them to the same standard. I did my higher tech circle. I did for the doubles tournament at CritCon. I am edge highlighting all of these.
You're insane.
I am, yes.
Yeah, I did 40 warriors because I did 2 Indominus boxes, and that almost broke me, you know, like I don't know.
The key is to go on like Airbrush Prime and spray basically all of them black to get all the annoying things like the spines and the joints. And then after that, it's kind of smooth sailing with the armor plating.
Yeah, I was learning how to do oil paints on them. So
everybody drinks
oil paints, really.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, there's oil.
Uh-huh. Someone actually asked about oils earlier, and you got to like signal them in.
Okay. Put the bat signal.
Tyler from the top rope, ready to talk oils. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, yeah, speaking of this hobby fatigue, dealing with all of that, it's, I don't know, a combination of some chats been happening like the Discord in the past week, conversation with Sean last week. I, as a refresher, actually went and listened to like that part of the episode before it got started again today. Just hobby fatigue, game fatigue, so on.
It's real.
Like everybody in this call felt like just fatigued and exhausted when they saw that the Tacoma Open was going to be 11 rounds. I think everybody just had like this sigh of frustration and just worries about like, oh god, my poor back that entire weekend. Just
I'm just thinking about the alcohol expense to get through the weekend, you know. Like that definitely ups it a little bit. There. You know, I'm going to need 2 to 3 more drinks on there.
And Connor's not even going to play.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I was thinking
about the last 2 years.
I was thinking about possibly doing narrative this year for 40K, even though I don't care about 40K, but the narrative looks really cool.
That's what I signed up for, because that one always sells out quickly. And I was like, if I want to do kill team, I can always decide a week before and swap, but narrative sells out within a month, it feels like.
I haven't done kill team at the open for the past 2 years. 2 years ago, did the hobby challenge, made a nice little diorama that I'm proud of. Meg watched and was just appalled and horrified when I went and painted like the little mustache on like a guy made for my diorama with a very large flathead brush, which is what a crazy person does, but it did work. Last year, I just went in with like a couple of friends and we checked the store to get some of the commemorative series models. We walked the floor. I pointed out to one of them, because she's newer to the hobby, like you can tell like that person there who just did like the 3 colors all clearly airbrushed, they bought that army in the last month. They're a meta chasing person. Just point out to like 5 or 6 tables. That's about it.
I think walking around is always a good time. I think, yeah. What's that meme that I want to say David posted earlier this week? It's like, pair with your friend, first round charge directly into each other, 3 hour lunch, you know, start day drinking, you know, like that's Tacoma for me, you know.
Like, part of the fun of any kind of big thing, like anything between CritCon, like an open, I'd assume Adepticon, anything like that, is that half of this hobby is like the painting part of it, so it's like one big kind of like art showcase almost, so you just get to kind of see what everybody else does, ask them how they did it, talk about techniques, steal those techniques from those people.
It is really cool just to walk around the conventions and see that stuff.
The hobby portion is also very tempting. So
if you do get a chance to get to Adepticon, Adepticon has some of the best hobby there is out there. Like, you'll see, if you go to LVO, there's random like armies that are just absolutely amazing. They do have Verico's Vault down there too, which is just the rich guy that literally just buys like masterworks from people. But LVO is the one that, or excuse me, Adepticon's the one that actually has like they have the Golden Demon there every year, which is amazing. A bunch of really awesome Warhammer stuff, but they also have a couple other ones, and I can't remember the name of them from other companies too. So it's not just Warhammer stuff. And then they have like the like showcase event too, which I think is like Saturday night of that, where you have just like dioramas that are 6 feet tall and have 200 models on them, and it's wild.
I love stuff like that. I love seeing stuff like that. I love that. I remember at one point I saw at Tacoma, when I walk on like the everything for like the 40k table, somebody had, I think it was just like a Chaos Demons army, and it was all done up where it was like a big gingerbread house, and they're all done like Christmas themed, and had like the three different like, they're all just like great unclean ones. One of them is done like Santa Claus. One of them completely covered with green, like flocking to be the Grinch. Just stuff like insane things that you would never think of. Just love it.
So you mentioned, we talked about fatigue a little bit. So there's a couple kinds of fatigue, and it did come up in our Discord. There's the, maybe the portions of the hobby. I think you're just like focusing on a certain portion of the hobby, whether that's being sweaty and playing. Maybe it's narrative. Maybe it's the building or painting, or, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we get fatigued in this hobby. So have y'all, is there any, at any point, have you all felt that kind of fatigue?
I know, currently experiencing the fatigue.
Yeah, you got terrain fatigue.
I'm so over clipping sprues right now. So I'm deep in. I think I'm what, 3/4 of the way through my sprues that I need to clip. You know, I still probably have 20 hours left of sprue clipping and cleaning.
Jesus.
I've gotten to the point when I was getting through the last of the Necron backlog where I wasn't even bothering to cut off spare bits to go and chuck in the, like, you know, the bin. I have a large box of just sprues that is overflowing from like the past couple years, because I'm waiting for like the closest Warhammer store, that recycling program they have in the UK, to finally come here, so I can just dump all that stuff off on them. I'm just chucking this Necron parts in there now because I have so many of them. I don't need any more.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm just like ripping the sprues apart. The terrain, it's coming out with my bare hands. If I can't rip it out, like, it's getting tossed to the side for me to clip later. Mm.
You know. Connor, I feel like last year you had a little bit of kill team fatigue. You weren't liking where your baby boy robots were. You weren't happy with the Battleclade team that came out, and so how'd you get through that? And you did kind of find your way back a little bit too, and you found another way to, I think, express yourself in kill team a little bit. And so talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, part of it was like you said, my favorite team was kind of just dog trash. The team that replaced them was a big miss for me. And I just felt overall that the game was not as interesting or as fun in the style I like to play, which was definitely a bummer. I then kind of, my current thing right now, similar to them back here, is just trying out other games. Because through our tournaments, I've won a whole lot of random shit, like an Underworlds box or two, which was pretty fun. Ooh. So in Underworlds, you know, there's a decent growing people, so I'm working on a couple little guys for them right now, But back then, it was trying out some Heresy, which was a good time, and I'm glad I did. It took a while because Heresy is a bigger game, and then they dropped a new edition right as I was getting into it properly, which was always fun when that happens. But part of it, at least for me, was the solution was, if I'm not having as much fun with this game, I should just try other games. Warhammer and GW make a million billion games, some of them dead like Mordheim and shit, but there's still a huge population for them. And, you know, you have if you have hobby time, you can always find a fun little war band to build or something.
Well, you also, you found your way back to Kill Team between your friends bullying you and having a podcast for Kill Team. But because you last year around Tacoma Open time, you found your way back to Kill Team. So, and I think there was two pieces to that, that because you got excited again. You were on the grind again a little bit. You were talking like you want to get a golden ticket. What led you to being back into it for a little bit?
Delusion, mostly, regarding the golden ticket. But part of it was they finally dropped the what are they called? Ursarax for Mechanicum. And I always said, I always loved that model. I mean, like, it's a freaking cyborg with lightning claws in either arm, and it has a jetpack. How is that not the coolest thing you've ever heard of? It's warp talents if they were cooler. And then they finally dropped them in plastic. And I always said, if they drop them in plastic, I'll build a Nemesis Claw team because it's practically one for one with a Screecher.
I'm going to put a pen into that statement as we get back to talking about some other stuff later, but go on.
Okay. And so I bought that kit, and then I was like, well, I have all these other things. I have, you know, various, you know, you end up with Chaos Marines just throughout, I don't know, or you end up with Marines. I bought a Nemesis Claw box, and I was like, I think I had the Plague Marines, and I was like, well, I always liked building models, let's see what we can do. And so I built up a team from unsprued to fully kitbashed and painted within 8 days, which is still the fastest I've ever done any sort of hobby thing. It's still mind-blowing to me that I managed to pull that out of the ass in time, because part of it was I just wasn't gonna have an army I was happy with ready for Heresy, which was my original plan for Tacoma last year. Rip Heresy, so sorry. But two, I was just like, you know, Nemesis Claw can be fun. I don't have to be good to play them. They're Marines, you know, run and punch people. And then I did, and I did all right at that. And then they nerfed the shit out of them for the last three balance data slates as a punishment to me.
Yeah, because everybody who you play gets nerfed. You can't.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm sorry to you, Goose, for touching his baby and getting them nerfed so
many times. It's just that you're a sweaty meta chaser.
You know me. You know? Yeah, I didn't realize that Mrs. Claw was apparently the most problematic team.
None of the colors on his Iron Warriors proxy teams look like they came out of an airbrush. I wouldn't agree with that at all.
Yeah, because Connor doesn't have an airbrush.
I do not, no. I'm afraid I'd get high.
Clearly you don't own an airbrush.
No. I have an air fryer, though.
It's the same thing, basically. Is that a meme? I don't get
the clearly you don't own an air fryer. I don't know where it came from, but
it's from people not owning air fryers and being inferior than to people that do.
I will tell you,
it's not that, really like a meme, it's just like life.
My dad got me an air fryer for Christmas 15 years ago or something. I was like, what is this? I was like, this is, and now I love that damn thing. Like, you want the best tofu you can make, like, right out of there.
You haven't replaced it?
No.
That time? Still using the same one?
I mean, it works.
If it works.
Look at you. I'm just surprised. I didn't know that modern appliances, especially countertop ones, lasted that long these days.
Yeah, it was like a Home Shopping Network one, too, I'm pretty sure. Okay. But Connor, you found some new love from a new team to play, but also like kit bashing too.
Yeah.
Trying out you found a paint scheme you liked. So I think that kind of snapped you out of snapped you out of your hobby or your game fatigue, at least with Kill Team. And you've been doing a ton of kit bashing since then. You're basically, you know, end up with an Iron Warriors team Iron Warriors army pretty soon.
Yeah. It's pretty much, if I do the 40K narrative, I'm like, cool, I'll have to build some tanks and that's about it. I have all the Marines I could ever need.
I'm right there with you, man. Like, I think I'd need to fill a few gaps for like a night.
I need to actually paint like the Sentinel and a couple of artillery pieces I have, but I have so many like Cadians for my Vet Guard. I have basically a platoon for my Vet Guard. I have like three squads in the command squad I all use for the Vet Guard.
Hell yeah. You know, that's one thing about Kill Team that people don't really talk about. Everyone looks at it as like a whole bunch of different teams. But you can kit mash all of the teams to look similar, be cohesive. And after a little bit, after, you know, five seasons of the game, you'll have an army-ish kind of thing. Not really, but like, you know, on the way, right?
As far as like clever kit bashing goes, it's Cody, isn't it, who has like the incredibly like very, you know, like well built. They can count as Vet Guard, they can count as Blooded, and they can count as Brood Brothers, like the Omni kind of like, you know, guard team that he made.
I think he did that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think like, it's also ESS too.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Star Chargers was the team that he played. He beat me at Tacoma a couple years ago.
He's real good with them. He's gnarly with them.
He is really good. Yeah, yeah. Come back and play, Cody. Quit just buying miniatures. Mm-hmm. So, which, by the way, Max, I know you really want that new Eldar, the anniversary model.
Yeah.
Nick has two of them, by the way, in Port Orchard. So he doesn't need both of them. So, and we're trying to help him downsize.
Yeah, where's my photos of what you forced him to downsize so I can ruin my hobby golf score even more, Chuck?
Yeah, I gotta get that. It's also in my car.
So we're talking about like one of the things besides this fatigue and also trying to work through backlogs. I hear hobby golf get thrown around a whole lot, like by you especially, Chuck, but I don't think I've ever heard the mechanics explained to me. For anybody like, I'm just a girl and I don't know what this is. Can you please explain it to me?
Let me mansplain this to you, sweetie.
Nice.
So
we're getting super canceled.
So shame golf is what it's called.
Let me do one of these while you're...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Shame golf is what it's called. And essentially what it is you keep track of your miniature purchases throughout the year to kind of make yourself more aware of this. And I started doing this because when I got back in the hobby, I went bonkers.
Yeah, as we can see.
And buying miniatures.
Let's see the cave back there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not even all of it. That's not even close to it. So I decided that so if you go to the store and you buy a box of miniatures and then you just throw it on the shelf, you don't really see what you've bought. Because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to play a Sisters Army someday. I'm also going to play a Custodes Army. I'm also going
to
play
Pen in the Sisters Part 2. Here we'll get back to that.
I'm also going to play. I'm going to play Sylvaneth in AOS, and you're probably going to play Stormcast. But so what Shame Golf is essentially when you buy a box, you count how many miniatures are in it, and then that's their score. So say you buy a box with a squad of five. That's plus five. Okay. Now for every miniature you paint to completion, that's minus one. So if you were to finish that box up and get it all completed and ready to go, you know, it'd be minus five. So you'd have a net zero for that one. And the idea is to get negative or better. I consider if you divest in miniatures, so if you sell off miniatures, I consider that as going as a negative towards your shame golf. If somebody buys you miniatures or you get free miniatures, I don't count that towards shame golf. It's more to like curtail some of my spending that I've done on it. So it's really about just like kind of being more aware of really what I'm acquiring, because I wasn't for a while. And then once you really start to look at the numbers, and it's actually really helped me there's been more than once where I've looked at a box or thought about buying something and been like, yeah, that's going to really mess up with my shame golf score. So, you know, David Dorath on the Discord is a shame golf ninja. He's at
crazy
like,
good with it.
I have yet to get through a year and be negative at shame golf. And he last year, I think he was negative. He's so far this year, he's like negative 40. I think last year he barely was positive or just a little negative because he got dark water right at the end of the year. But it's just kind of a way for you to kind of take control of the hobby a little bit in your purchasing. Because I think that sometimes why it's called pile of shame is that we buy this stuff and then it sits in the closet. And, you know, you get the endorphins from buying it, but then you come back to it and you look at it and you're like, oh shit, I got that box of this that I haven't done. And then a new box comes out and you want to buy it, but you're like, well, you know, I have all this stuff to paint still. So I think it's just a little, kind of a fun game to, for accountability. So.
Yeah. Wasn't it created by Dana Howell?
I think it was actually too. I know that she, I do the hobby streak thing, and the hobby streak thing has come as I just do a little bit in the hobby every day, which has expanded from building or painting miniatures to maybe organizing my space or doing the podcast or working on the podcast or playing Kill Team, just something around the hobby that's more than watching shit on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I think Dana Howell was the one who actually invented Shame Golf as well too. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Dana nice. Howell's awesome. If you're not familiar with the channel also. Yeah.
So I've found a way how I'm partially trying to keep myself, like accountable and kind of on track while I'm doing stuff here, besides fact of just, you know, if I talk about how I'm trying to get stuff done publicly, then I also get shamed for not doing it. And peer pressure is always a great way to do it. From somebody who I know from when she used to do like kind of like article writing in the video game industry and who also has gotten into like painting recently, like Merritt K on like Blue Sky, like posted how had joined this little mini miniature paintings, like a union almost, which is actually run by somebody who I know frequents Tacoma Games down in like Tacoma, so I can potentially go and I don't know, like say hi or like throw like I don't know tomatoes at the car of Simon or whatever if I really wanted to. But I've got like basically my nice little kind of book here of when I joined the quote unquote union. I kind of said what my goal was for the year, which was all of the Necrons painted by the end of the year.
That's a great goal.
A, like little book where I am keeping track of like in February, like for example, everything I got done painted, which was some of the scatter stuff and the parts of Tomb World, like full, like 10 warriors completely taken care of. I got the entire backlog built and of course just the Nightbringer got taken care of. So
that's great.
Taken care of. And it's
yeah. Here's as far as I've gotten my Nightbringer.
Giving yourself deadlines, I guess, is kind of part of what I've done here, where it's I have to look at kind of like the book here and like, oh, works in progress for March. What have I painted? Oh, it says nothing and I have a week. I need to go and get on that.
Deadlines yeah. are really as someone with ADHD, deadlines are very motivating for me.
I do some of my best work at the last minute.
I have to. I have to have a deadline. You know, I'm under, as we've talked about a little bit, I'm undertaking a huge terrain project for some entity out there. You know, having a deadline is keeps me going, because it's like I got to get all this done by this date before you know, people have to play on it. And it's same thing with like CritCon, you know, all that stuff too, like making sure that like terrain's painted, teams are, you know, we have all the stuff we need. It's that keeps me going, keeping those tense deadlines, that pressure. So really, Chuck, you just need to make me more nervous to get me to do more stuff. Like if you're like, oh, Tyler, I need Tyler to do this. You just got to make me feel real nervous about a deadline. Be like, ah, world's going to end if this doesn't happen, you know, and then it'll get done.
Tyler, we got a big down payment coming up in about a month on our space for CritCon for this year. So yeah.
We'll get on that. So,
yeah. So, but no, Max, I like that you have a way of keeping yourself accountable. I think that having like either like, and part of the Shame Golf we're doing, me and Nick and Connor all have a spreadsheet that Connor designed and then Nick made a good one. And so we can track our numbers together. It was kind
Nick
of
iterated on the original design is the terminology
Excel
we're using.
Or Google Sheets. So Nick was the one that smart knows how to make it be like, take
what
all the you, numbers and combine them and make it look nice. Like,
what do you use in a like day-to-day basis, like for software? What kind of software do you use?
All like custom-made government bullshit. The closest I do is like Google Sheets, but I don't actually, I look and type in it. I don't ever have to do the math bullshit for it.
Yeah, you doing like drafting software?
No, God, no. It's a lot entry. Of just yeah. It's my job is more program management than it is like planning, which is why I hate it as much as I do.
Okay.
Max, do you so you've got this new accountability with the Brush Wielders Union, or do you feel like that helps you stave off some of the fatigue, or do you feel like it adds to it? Or
I feel like it does, because looking at stuff and how I'm able to break stuff up in like kind of like, let's say, a month and what I'm getting done, I can kind of then I'm trying to compartmentalize a little bit of what I'm trying to get done when. Like one of my goals this month was to get all the Necron stuff now it's built primed, and I have everything primed except for all the stuff I got that like this kind of I have like some of the warriors, they don't have bases at the moment. I need to go and get that one figured out somewhere along the line. And I got the scarabs who have bases taken care of, because they have the little display rocks. They sat in my box to dry afterwards. So I've got just about everything primed, which is good. My immediate goals now are, because I've been kind of tired of playing like, you know, like narrative join op stuff against Necrons that are like partially painted, all of the like options I have for NPOs, I'm trying to make sure that is taken care of first before I move on to the wider backlog. When I'm getting tired of painting too much brass, I have the new Celestians. I'm very slowly trying to paint little bit by little bit. I'm trying to take my time with them so they are of kind of the same quality of the Death Watch that I really took my time painting, because I was really happy with those. And I'm looking to see if I can actually get Tomb World finished. Again, as far as giving, like, you know, things to panic about, like Tyler was saying, Sean did say he needs for his tournament at the end of the month more Tomb World. And I said, I've got some that I could paint, and we'll see if I may successfully do that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think
I'm not doing it this weekend. I have Emerald City Comic Con to go to, so that's going to be a wash.
Well, you've got 18 days till the Clash, so it's on in my calendar. So no pressure. Uh-huh.
We'll see how it goes.
You got an airbrush. So
I've got an airbrush. So I primed it in because, all right, so in Bremerton, across the street from Discordia Games, there's this little like used art supply shop, and I got out of it. Technically wasn't a blind box, but it was some kind of sealed box that came from Culture Hustle, which has all like the weird paints where they do like reclaim colors from like companies trying to copyright colors and other like nonsense, like the glow powders I have and stuff like that. Just for $30 I bought it, and I asked, like, do you know what's in there? Like, I don't know. And it was an entire paint can, this like black mirror paint that needs to go on in a couple of coats, and it's this ultra kind of like dark black, but it has a mirror coat shine to it, so if stuff is close to it, you can actually kind of like see reflections. And that's when I'm painting all of the Blackstone by hand on the Tomb World stuff, and I can't do that shit out of an airbrush because I'm already painting that in the garage because it's toxic. I'm also on team don't park your car in the garage, just for different reasons.
the rocks are the hardest part of Tomb World, I think. Honestly,
if they released a set without the rocks, it would paint like so fast. It'd be a glorious set. The rocks on it make it nightmarish. Easily the worst set of terrain I have ever painted.
I based everything gray, and then I went back and I went and got like a Citadel air pot of what I'm using. What is it, the color exactly? Is it the Zandri dust? It might be. I just got an air pot of that I've burned through just about all of it, just kind of hitting just the rocks. So I can try to save a little bit of time going over with brush later. And then I started doing all the black mirror base coats.
Yeah, I've got a second set that's prime black, and I think I did all the rocks by hand on my first set, and I think I'm just going to go airbrush on the second set and call it good.
I think I'd just do an underglow on it, like a neon green underglow. Paint it black, glossy black with neon green underglow. Call it a day. You know, maybe hit some metallics if I was doing another set from.
Well, if you get another set, I'll loan you like the paint can I have if you want to play around with it and do that. So,
I mean, I do love shooting toxic paint through my airbrush.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that Tyler, you are on a mountain of terrain. You've done a mountain of terrain before.
A mountain of terrain.
You're always doing a mountain of terrain. So how do you keep going with it?
It's got to get done. People need terrain to play on, right? Like, if the terrain doesn't get painted, no one plays the game. It's true. Like, you know, that's what keeps me going when I do it. I'm pretty fast at terrain, and like, luckily, I think the longest part of this painting commission will be the clipping and the trimming and the priming. You know, once I get it all, or the assembly and then the priming. Once I get it past that point, I think it should be pretty quick because they're not asking for a lot of details on it.
Nice.
You know, so whereas like Tomb World, like as we talked, it is a tedious slog. You know, that was a burnout moment for me getting through the sets that I finished. I don't know if I will go back to my own set, honestly.
You got to get it ready for Kill Scream.
Yeah, I know. Like
we only have one set right now, and that's my set.
one. Wait, we only have one set of what? Tomb World?
We might have two by the time.
We might have two.
If things go well.
Max can get hers done.
I can guarantee a third because I have one somewhere in the closet that I have never painted. But, you know, it's in October. I can get to that by then. Yeah,
when signups come up, buy your tickets as soon as you can. Maybe you get to play on my fucked up mirror wall set up on the
screen. Yeah, how much does a Tomb World wall count for hobby golf? Is that still just one?
Tomb World's just one. Actually, I don't count. That's one thing. I don't count terrain.
What? That's insane.
Shame golf.
My entire... Nope. See, I can't do this hobby golf thing, and I had to find another... I'm glad I found another system here, because the way you explained it, my entire shop is just fucked, because a lot of things I have are models that were inflicted on me or ones I've had for years and haven't finished, so they weren't bought this year. So
you start at zero every year, though.
You still start at zero, though. It doesn't care about your previous year at all. It doesn't matter that I have $9 million.
Oh, good. I came into the year and I already won.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, if you count your Necrons, that's the nice thing, is you can just go buy a couple models before the new year, and then you know, those don't count towards the next year.
Exactly, it's kind of cheating the system, but
I feel like that's, you know, loophole abuse and cheating, which is part of why a lot after. It's a combination of discussion you guys were having last week about downsizing stuff, and also Discordia had a very nice little swap meet a couple weeks ago where I finally got most of what I needed to actually have my Blades of Cain. And also, again, it was a nice, like, little time, people getting rid of stuff. And I thought about how I have a lot of stuff it's probably will be time to get rid of because I haven't painted it and I'm probably not going to.
Yeah, I'm going to get getting rid of stuff. There's a swap meet coming up at, Santiam Tabletop?
Yeah. It's the middle of March? You're in
14th. Yeah. So if you're in the Portland area, come buy Nick's shit, because it's filled, got my Subaru Outback just totally full of stuff. So.
Are you going down for it?
I am going. We're going to set up a couple tables for it. So pop in there, buddy.
Nice. Yeah. Why didn't you tell me? I'll be there.
I've been thinking about this a little bit since last week after all this talk of like compulsive bits hoarding and how you have like all these like
bots for a second.
Like, I mean, okay, you know. Compulsive.
There's one person on this podcast that hoards the bitches, and that's Connor.
You know it, baby.
Save some woman for the rest of us. Right. But no, like compulsive hoarding of like bits and models and how you have like boxes of like stuff that's apparently so low value for like Age of Sigmar, they're just giving it away at Adepticon, stuff like that.
It's called
that.
Dominion.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently. What are the factions in that besides Stormcast? Or the other ones at
Orux.
Least?
Even?
Yeah.
So nothing good.
They were handing out Skaven last year.
The swampy ones, too. It's not even like normal orcs, too. It's like the stringy boys.
Moist, you know? Orcs. Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Moist orcs.
Isn't that the main orc in Sigmar, though? There's still like the yellow ones, but I thought the swamp ones were kind of their main.
They're like goblins. They're not even really orcs. Yeah, they're orcs or something. Yeah, no, they all look like goblins.
They feel like more orcs. Like something out of Lord of the Rings than like the 40k orc.
I like them, though.
They look neat.
I think that there's like kit bash potential in them. You know, if you ever want to give away the orc portion of your Dominion, Chuck, I'll take them.
Yeah, I mean, you can come buy them next weekend.
I mean,
I'll cut you a deal.
Tyler can fit them. He doesn't park in his garage.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about this from like yesterday, last week's discussion here about just when to know to let things go. And this is borderline con Mari, it doesn't spark joy kind of like nonsense. Just kind of looking around, deciding just what I should keep and what I shouldn't based off of, like, does the idea of painting this like spark joy at all? Like, for example, kind of looking at a lot of my work in progress stuff I have over here. On my ridiculous L-shaped desk. Let's see. The Navy Breachers that I've primed and not finished since I got the end of the Dark Box. If I haven't finished them yet, I'm probably not going to. I'm not going to play them. I can get rid of those. The Jaegers that I bought after Sean talked a lot about the rules from. I mean, the idea of painting those to snow theme I was thinking of still sounds fun. I don't have anything snow themed. I'll probably keep those. All the Sisters of Battle I have. I got back in the hobby and during COVID in 2020. So I also like came back to see that Sisters of Battle that always had just pewter models when I was a kid suddenly had a lot of plastic. So I got a lot of them. And then I decided after playing, I think, one 500 point game of 40K that I still hate 40K like I did when I was a child. And then I got into Kill Team and I just have not painted any of them. And I'm probably never going to. And I've really been thinking about this after, like, was talking back and forth about, like, 3D print files for bases from, like, Olivia and showing off, like, the aftermarket helmets I got because I don't really like the standard Sisters helmets, and saying how the Incendents aren't going to really match the rest of the Force because of stuff like that. Just, I... Say for, like, a nice conversion or two I did of, like, a Dogmata, like, my Canis and such, a couple character models, stuff like that. I don't really like the idea of painting any of them, so I may just turf all of those, too. Just, I have, like, a unit of Scions so trying to convert up and, like, paint with, like, you know, like, the Sigatari Vanguard helmets to use for, like, Inquisition. I don't have Inquisition. I have paint stripped and, like, tried four different, like, paint schemes on the Scions. Those can go. I have a bunch of random Space Marines because, of course, I do. If you're in this hobby, you just accumulate Space Marines somehow. Yep. They just form like spores in between your spruces of other things, whether you want them or not. You watching or listening to this right now, you have Space Marines someplace you did not ever buy. They just ended up there, like groundlings smuggled them into a box someplace. Absolutely. Those can go. All of those can go.
But what if I need them for a Batcher conversion?
Well, I'm just fucked then, and I'm gonna have to live with that. I've been fucked spiritually with causing problems for myself many a times. I past Max, I hate that bitch, but I deal with it.
My own worst enemy right there. Past Tyler.
Tyler, Nick and I agreed that you weren't gonna be, you're not much help with the purge portion because you're just like, fuck it, get more room. Like, I don't buy a retail. I don't care. It's fine. Just get more room.
I mean, here's the thing. I may be wild and out of control in many ways, but not with my hobby buying.
But if you're not out of control, you're not in control, whatever they say in Tokyo Drift 2, Tyler.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
you're right.
That's why you got to go buy more models. That way you can.
I live my life one quarter of a box purchase at a time.
Exactly. That 100%. You know, the second I clip that sprue, I'm free.
Yeah.
All I need is to take one bit out of the entire sprue, entire box.
Worth it.
And it is, in my hobby golf system, you know, five models up. Clip one bit. I just needed the head from this guy. Boom.
Just in my version of hobby golf, where we're just at the drive range drinking day beers, trying to hit the guy picking up all the balls. I'm doing great.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. You know, life is about the rules you make for yourself in the hobby.
Well, I do think it's good for you to downsize. I'm going to work on, we went through Nick's stuff and we got quite a bit of stuff out. And Nick's been collecting for like 20 years too. Yeah. So, it's not like me, I've been collecting since 2020 and I have quite the pile. But I gotta go through mine in the next week to get some stuff and not just like abandon Nick and make him just take his stuff.
Extended family in theory maybe has a lot of my old hammered stuff when I was a kid. I don't know where the hell it is. It's not back in Kansas City because I've been there in the past couple years and I checked and nobody seems to know what happened to it. Like, I have Greenrod Necrons, including a monolith. I have old Tyranids, like more, a lot of like pewter stuff someplace. I would love to be able to get the literal first models I ever got and painted so I can just have that on the shelf so I can just kind of track my progress. The first things I ever bought were a couple of the Dark Eldar Incubi, and I painted them like dog shit because I was in middle school.
Yeah. 100%. I remember the first models I attempted were some pewter striking scorpions with Tester's green paint. You know, it turned out how you think it turned out. You know, and then some Dark Reapers with some of the black. You know,
there's a reason why, even though I'm painting with white armor, all of my Sisters for Kill Team, we sprayed that through the airbrush gray and we're building it up. I've learned.
Yeah, absolutely. it's been a process. I actually here's a little lore bit I've never dropped before with me and Warhammer. So
I need a sound for this, like bam 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 bam, new Tyler lore.
I love obscure Tyler lore. I love this game.
So I got into Warhammer when I was 12, super into it. And I was in middle school, and there's this this rowdy kid, troubled kid named James. And he was into it also. And at one point, he gives me all of his Warhammer collection. And then he, like, later, like, months later, he's like, hey, give me all your the Warhammer back. And I was like, I don't fucking remember what the Warhammer, which Warhammer was yours and which Warhammer was mine. I'm 12, you know? And mm-hmm. so my family just took my entire Warhammer collection and gave it to him so I didn't get beat up.
Oh.
All of it. All of it. Lost everything. So.
Oh.
Dude, yeah. You I gotta told, find so, this guy and fucking burn his house down. That's
I think he's probably in like jail.
Well, you know? We gotta burn jail down then.
I don't think. I mean, you know, I'm all for that. Prison abolition. You know. So,
Jenna has said many times that when I pass and at the ripe old age of 47, she's going to take my shit to Goodwill. And I told her that I would haunt her from the grave. And also Nick has like sworn to avenge me if she just takes all my shit to Goodwill and drops it off.
No, my plan is get buried with it like an Egyptian pharaoh.
If either one of you die, can I have your Necrons?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, you can have my Necrons. I've got a lot of. I'm just gonna agree. I got the Imperium magazine. I got the entire thing too. So next time I see you, I got some more warriors for you.
I cut off just before I was able to finish the three like thing squad of the like the Canoptic Wraiths, and before I got any of the one thing I need for NPOs or just any Lich Guard, I didn't get to that either.
I think I might have those actually. So
we'll talk about that later. Both like the models and also. NPO stuff in a bit.
So that's actually we're at a turning point here. Okay. So we're about 45 minutes in.
We're gonna get shot in the neck.
We have two options. We can do a because I'm an old man and Connor has a bedtime. We can either quickly or concisely go through the NPO piece.
I think there's more value in the other discussion because, okay, hey, spoiler, the Maxillin Phillips joint ops agenda continues. If you are in our Discord, and if you're not and you're listening to this, what are you doing? Join the Kill Team Cascadia Discord. I am, like, live blogging my attempts to go in. So there's a lot of narrative rules and everything that's come out into Tomb World, like, season. I've just been combining them together in the Expedition campaign that came out in Dead Silence because I seem like I'm pathologically compelled to just remake the best gameplay experience that a computer game for Warhammer's had, which is just the Risk campaign from Dawn of War Dark Crusade. Everything's working out well so far. I have a thread where I'm just kind of live blogging games for that. Just go check that out. I think the thing that's more worth talking about is still Burnout stuff here because we've talked a lot about hobby things, but not gameplay per se. We touched on that a little bit with Connor.
Yeah, I think, I think we put a pin in the, or we parking lot or whatever corporate thing we want to do for the
put MPO. A I'd pin love to in have, that. I'll have be to let back. Back.
Have you come back? Yep.
For another filler episode one of these days, wondering between tournaments.
And we talk about Burnout a little bit more. So there was somebody in the Discord that talked about how they were specifically burnt out on playing competitive. So in our, you know, like Max said, if you're not in a Discord, what the hell are you doing? And so there's ways to get around that competitive burnout. And I think there's the narrative piece or doing the NPO stuff is part of it. But, you know, Connor's talked about playing other games. I've played other teams. Like, you know, what other ways do you guys think that, we can avoid that burnout piece? Or if you find yourself reaching that burnout but still want to be involved because you love your plastic war dollies, what would you do?
I think it's completely valid to stop playing for a little bit.
No, shut the cut. No,
I think that's fair. Sometimes you just need to step away from it.
You just need to step away and you just need to like hang out in the Discord and like you know, keep up on the lore, maybe read some books, watch some YouTube videos, play a video game. You know, like a lot of people will you know, denigrate people for their level of involvement in the hobby, you know, or they'll be like, oh, I'm not really even involved. I just like read the books occasionally now. And it's like, yeah, that's how things are. Life happens and you can't beat yourself up for it. You're a person, your interests are going to wane, you know, and they're going to come back and like not pushing yourself, not trying to overdo it or force it because that's not going to help it. You want to come back at it fresh. You want to feel like, this is something that you can do and it not be overwhelming. You know, the part that you're not liking, feeling overly competitive about it. Step away for a minute and come back to it. And maybe you won't feel that way anymore. because like we aren't static as people, right?
No, ideally not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some people out there, but like most of us are capable of some kind of growth, I like to think.
I would hope so. Like, so I would argue that, you know, obviously discounting things like, you know, blatantly cheating, there's no wrong way to play the game, but there are a lot of wrong ways to engage with it. And I'm going to go ahead and talk about some of my own like sick freak history here a bit, because I think the example I brought up in this discussion in the Discord was one of the games I used to play really sweaty back in the day was Overwatch. I was a Widowmaker main in Overwatch. And if you're somebody who hasn't played that game or not really a shooter person, you don't know what that means. Widowmaker is a hero in that game where her entire damage is based around the fact that she has a sniper rifle and her headshots deal a whole lot of damage, where depending on what the other person I'm shooting at is, either takes them out in one shot or maybe two. And it's all very from a distance twitch reflex based, because the thing about other people in shooters is they move around and jump a lot. So it's not easy. So doing well playing that character was very like feast or famine with things going bad. And years ago, after about like an instance of a match going particularly bad and having to put, you know, the keycaps back on my mechanical keyboard after I just smashed on it, I just decided I'm not having fun with this game anymore, and it stresses me out too much the way I engage with it, and that needs to stop.
Yeah.
So recognizing there's a problem like that, just like you don't need to, like, some people just are not built to like sweat lord focus really hard on everything. Some people are not built like some of our friends where they just know the rules for every team and they can do like 11 round tournaments and stuff like that, and that's fine.
Yeah, 100%. I was gonna say, you got to meet the game where you're at, right? If it's something you enjoy, find where it brings you joy, right?
Yeah, I think one thing is, especially if you're playing in a competitive environment, you can't take stuff super personally, because if your enjoyment of like playing is completely based around if you're winning, that's going to be a problem, because then 100%. you've just wasted a couple hours of your time and now you're all like mad because you lost. Mm-hmm. So what was the point of the entire exercise to begin with at that point? You just spend a couple hours, you know, frustrating yourself because you didn't get the outcome you wanted because you were too laser focused in on that.
Yeah, I think that that's one reason that like extraction shooters have a really bad reputation.
Oh god,
it gets, you know, we'll touch on Marathon a little bit in the after show, because I
have, you have some feelings.
I have some thoughts about it too. I played the Server Slam a little bit recently, you know, so but like you're completely right, like sometimes we get a little too wrapped up. And we need to know when it's time to step back. And you can often re-engage with a game again casually at a different level. You know, I used to really sweat it out and kill team. Now I'm mostly in the enjoy it phase. Yeah. So maybe I'll sweat it out again at some point.
I think that if you are sweating it out and you still want to, like, you don't want to fully step away from the competitive piece, I think you can also frame your games a little differently too. Maybe that means you pick up another team. Mm-hmm. Maybe that means you try a team with a different play style, or you go into a game and you try for a specific objective that's not necessarily win the game. Maybe it's you focus on your game itself, like where you can look and see where you're losing points. So are you losing on the crit or attack or kill or something, and like specifically play games towards that rather than, and look at improving your score on that rather than winning. Or even just like Sean said last week, like if you're not doing something for a point, like why are you doing it? So I think you can like still stay in that like kind of competitive piece, and maybe you switch off Widowmaker and actually go heal, because we don't have any freaking healers, Max, come on. So I was a Mercy main, by the way. But I think, yeah, maybe you engage in the hobby piece of it a little more, or the lore or something. So yeah. I think there's ways, or maybe you, if you are sweating and part of the sweat piece is that you're not enjoying it, or you're losing and you feel like you should be winning, maybe you, you know, reach out to somebody like Brandon Bean and get a coaching session.
Yeah. Or maybe you go for like best in a faction, like Chuck likes to do, You know? Like, you can pick like team that no one likes and go, I'm going to be the very best in the world at playing this.
Yeah, you can be the best AdMech player.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
still, I think my
not hard apparently.
I think my goals last big tournament, like what the last Open actually played at, were like pretty. Sometimes modest goals are good because my goals for that were like, I'm not going to win a golden ticket. Fuck you. But like, I can, if I try, I can place in a field of like 60 some odd people. I can make it, you know, in like middle of the pack or in the top half, maybe. And I aimed for that. And I think I won. I went three and three or like 3-2, maybe like a tie. I forget. I remember that I tabled every like person I actually beat because I'm a psychopath. So, and there was Chuck, I'm sorry to say this, there was a Kasterkin player on the first day who just under his breath while he was playing my Void Dancers just kind of said, I've never had to spend all of my elite points like this before.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Quick little tangent. I'm listening to the Kasterkin book. And it is quite good, honestly.
Yeah, I'm mentioned that.
Little surprised by it. I was expecting like a pretty like drab like military, you know, thing. And like there is like a point in it where there is like the most deep theological discussion in all of 40K that I've probably ever seen between two people who are not part of the ecclesiarchy or like a primarch and the emperor.
Oh, like I'm gonna need to read that.
Two common
just
people,
two orcs going at
two,
it.
Oh, yeah, no, but like it's a Kasterkin sergeant and a commissar, and they're talking about different doctrines and like the different readings, and it's like really good because they're having like a genuine discussion about orthodoxy and interpretation and like how your average guardman actually sees the world rather than being like, we've got to get to that point and kill the chaos. You know, oh no, the Tyranid is coming. We got to shoot it. We better hide so we can shoot the Tyranid. You know,
I'm just like, going to get on my soapbox. That's why I love the Gaunt's Go series and the Tan the First and Only so damn much.
Yeah. 100%.
Mm-hmm. So,
Connor, you're a burnout. Any any tips?
Dropped out of college like twice practically.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah,
but any tips that you? I mean, we talked about your story about getting back into like hobby in general, not necessarily kill team, but you have come back and dabbled a kill team. Would you anything besides what we?
Any final words? Basically, was what Chuck's looking for. Yeah, I want you to wrap it out. Wrap out the segment. We're gonna close it up.
If you don't like the game, find another game, whether that be a new team, which is kind of what I did, or just new game. I also did that. Try some new modes. There's plenty of weird shit in Kill Team right now. Hell, go play an older edition of Kill Team. Try a hybrid like me and Grant did for a few times where we played with six objectives and like multiple tag cops and stuff. It was fun, you know, like
make a weird board.
Yeah, it's weird. Not the... Oh my god, yes. Weird boards all the time. Fuck.
Long team, you know?
Long team, tall team.
Play weird boards all the time. Try weird boards. There's so much cool terrain in the world for Warhammer. Not just GDW. You don't need even third-party stuff. Use it, because it's way more fun than playing the same six maps over and over. If I wanted to do that, I'd go play COD, and they have kill streaks to make it interesting.
Love buying the weird special, like, you know, narrative objective markers that, you know, Games Workshop has for like 40K and for using for stuff that's great. It just Games Workshop's been really weird with just providing lots of game modes for this version of Kill Team that's not just approved ops like PvP stuff. Yep. Joint ops, obviously, I talk about a lot. Adversary officers, that the thing in Dead Silence, the campaign, it works as both. You can do that completely on your own as a completely, like, you know, solo narrative thing. It is also works for multiple players straight up PvP as a kind of like a campaign league thing. They release all kinds of really interesting narrative sort of like missions, like the Great Gunfire stuff when Hivestorm came out. We have rules for, like, you know, big maps where you can do like 2v2 doubles or just 4-person free-for-alls. Imagine how much of a mess that... The Shadow Hunt, like, dual board where it's half close quarters and half up top is so dumb in such a fun way. I played one of those with Olivia a couple weeks ago, and Olivia washed me. Like, I only got single-digit points, and I got tabled, and Olivia kicked my ass, but we were both having so much fun because of the amount of just, like... the points, it's 3 inches of movement up or down as you're just kind of going up and down the ladders. If operatives are both in control range of it, you can shoot each other up and down them. There was still like the two more teleporter on top of everything. It was such like a clown shoes back and forth game. It was ridiculous. And I don't care that I lost. I had fun. It's okay to just do weird, silly stuff that's just fun.
Absolutely.
Do a split board. Do a four-person split board thing. Why not? Just get really silly with it.
You play it how you want it when it comes down to it. Except at a tournament, then you play it how we want it.
Yeah. You don't always have to jump into the Overwatch rank competitive mode. You can just queue up and just do some nonsense. It's fine.
You do some casual breakthrough.
You can also just go to a tournament and play like a fool, too. Like, you can just go like, I brought stealth suits. Like, I just wanted to go blow stuff up with a couple Meltas. So,
yeah. I brought this team that I've actually never played, and I only kind of understand what the rules for Kill Team are because I've read them in abstract in a book. And my first ever opponent is at a Tacoma Open against Tyler. Let's just see what happens.
That's when I was on that sweaty grind too. Greg was around. I could get in a whole bunch of games. You know, it's not quite the same anymore.
And after that, we're still friends years later, folks.
Yeah. go make some friends. Like, go with the objective to not really focus on the game, but like just socialize. Remember,
I think that's
the best.
Go teach somebody the game.
Yeah, the best part about a tabletop war game, in my opinion, is that you're across the
winning.
Table. Yes, absolutely winning. And if you're not winning, you're
Have
losing.
You not been
and,
listening?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. If you're not a winner. Stop listening to this podcast.
You're a loser.
Anyways,
get out
we
of
love
here.
You. Good night.
Fucking men. God damn it.
We got anyways, stuff. We got stuff.
Anyways, we got boner pills for sale on our links, crypto coin, sports betting, right?
Or are we just talking about our Patreon? So,
yeah, Patreon. We do have our patrons to thank, Chuck, right?
Yes. I'm going to thank the Patreons. I got the list. Sam, I'm hoping to get down to the coast later this month. Max is a Patreon, although we're giving it for free now since you do all that extra work for us, which we should have done in the beginning. Connor said no, but I said because.
It's kind of like you're paying me now.
Pretty much. Zarin in the Zarin tier. Cody, Zach, Greg, Rob, the Hobby Highlander himself. I still need to come on, Rob. Ryan Hagedorn, James Nevitt, Happy Stick, OG Yogg. Again, actually, you know what I decided, gentlemen? You know what we're going to do? I'm gonna get screenshots of Morning Glory Milking Farm, and so, we're gonna do a reading of it for the after show.
Sorry, know, what?
Morning Glory Milking Farm.
So my girlfriend finished it. She's on the second book. We'll talk.
What's
about
the second
that
book called?
Yeah, I don't know. It's about a Mothman, though. So we'll get into it in the after.
Tanner, Troy Wolf, new Patreon, the lovely Jenna, Sean Ross, Nick, Holly. Scott Keaton, Watermelonite, Mark Meyer from Vox Scream, William, Tristan, Riley, and Trench Fever. So thank you, everyone. Connor still hasn't redeemed his for free.
Oh, yeah, you texted me that.
Yeah.
Info. I can just look at the Patreon.
I know. On the Patreon, though, we're going to do this as soon as we're done here. We have an after show. We usually talk for 15 to 30 more minutes about non-Kill Team related bullshit.
Kill Team related shit.
Even less. This was a lot of Kill Team related stuff.
This was a lot of hobby,
Greg's going to be pissed.
Sorry, Greg.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
he's on the other side of the country. I don't care. Like, roll up, Greg.
Max, besides Vox Cascadia, do you have any socials to plug?
Oh, God. I am Blind Observer on several places and several things. I'm not going to tell you where any of them are. I don't post anything interesting anymore. My days of being like a Twitch personality are far behind me. Do not try to look for me. The best you're going to get is if you join our Discord, you can talk to me there. Otherwise, I do, like, whenever you see, like, a weird kind of, like, intentionally bad, insane meme post on our Instagram, that's me. I'm doing that. You're welcome.
Yeah, so at Vox Cascadia on Instagram, Tyler is at Lowbrow Minis, I am at Painting Cave Minis, Connor is at Spanaway on everything.
Exactly how it sounds.
Patreon.com/Vox Cascadia Podcast. Come join the Kill Team Cascadia Discord. Mm-hmm. There's still tickets for Clash left to come fight me and Tyler. Actually, we need to put it out to the Patreons for, we got like 9 rounds of Kill Team coming up. We got to put out for a punishment. So
absolutely. Or you can also come fight it. Well, I think the Vancouver one sold out, But you can fight us there if you're going to be there. And if you anyone wants to fist fight after or before one of the events, you know, maybe we can make that happen also. Anyways,
we're gonna, you have to fight Brandon Bean, though.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not saying who you're fist fighting. It's going to be a random draw, Swiss style, single elimination. Anyways, we love you. Good night.